Hello and welcome to another episode of Dream A Little. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Lo. I'm an ABDL switch, and you might know me from Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr as Daddy I Want This. Today we're mixing it up a little bit. Our special guest is Morgan, and he's an ABDL author. You can find his books on Amazon, and he'll share that a little bit later in the show. He's got a ton of information and stories to share with you. We're going to be covering everything from how the ABDL community online has changed over the years, to how he built his first nursery, as well as some horror stories of his own with buying diapers in person. You can reach out to him on Tumblr and get to know him a little bit better. He goes by Pillow Bottom. And really quickly, before we get started, I have a couple of announcements. First and foremost, Dream A Little is about to hit 150,000 downloads, which is just mind-boggling to me. When I created the show, I couldn't even dream that we would hit this many. So thank you so much for all your support, especially to those of you who are supporting the show via Patreon. If you want to learn more, you can go to patreon.com/dreamalittle. It's where I post exclusive content and videos. My second announcement is I'm really, really close to finishing my special project that I've been working on for you. For updates on this, as well as tips for opening up to a vanilla partner, please subscribe to my free newsletter at www.dreamalittlepodcast.com. Okay, I think that's all I had to say. Let's get started. Hello, Morgan. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm really excited to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on the
show.
Yeah,
of course. So you are a little bit of a different guest today because you are a writer.
I am.
Of ABDL fiction stories, right? Or are they nonfiction as well?
Oh, no, they're fiction. You know, they cross over into, you know, sort of, obviously some of it comes from my own thoughts and fantasies and stuff, but none of this has really happened, but they're partial makeup of things that I've thought about in the past, and also stories that other people have told me too. So I kind of blend it together to write crazy fantasy stories.
Awesome. So how long have you been into ABDL stuff?
I recall it being a thing in my head. God, when I was very, very little. I had a thing for diapers before I was even, before I even hit puberty. And I remember that all the way through my youth and my teenage years. And it wasn't until I was 19 or 20 that I realized that what it was, that it wasn't just me. There was other people who were like this and stuff. And so it's been a very long time.
Wow. So wasn't until you were 19 or 20 that you realized you weren't completely alone in this?
Yeah. I do remember being in my teens and seeing, like, in a dirty magazine that one of my friends had, seeing one picture of a woman in a diaper on a rocking horse. But it was, like, so not what you would, you know, the kind of pictures you'd associate with it now. But I'm like, wait a minute, that's what is she doing there? That sort of raised more questions than it answered at the time.
That was kind of like the first clue.
Yeah, the first clue. And then I saw references to it on TV a couple of times. And there was some people who were not great representatives of the community go on some TV shows, some, you know, crazy talk shows that in diapers and stuff, and, you know, acted weirdly and did not promote the lifestyle at all very well.
Oh, yeah. It's so unfortunate.
And then I started to realize, I mean, that caused more problems for me than not, because then I'm like, well, wait a minute, am I one of these crazy people?
Exactly. And then the fear grows even stronger, yeah. And you're like, who can I talk to about this? Who's not going to think I'm like these people?
Exactly.
Because in the back of your mind, you're also thinking, you know, like, I don't want it to be this extreme, like, all the time. They tend to feature people who just want to do it, like, 24/7, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard.
And have no problem doing, you know, exposing themselves and stuff like that. And it was just too much. And really, until I was in my late teens when the internet was becoming common, and then in early college, that's when I started to see stuff online that made me go, okay, this is, I get it. And there was better representation and stuff, but there was still a lot of problems for me in my head. I really hated myself for it. And I did, you know, the whole binge purge thing for years, where I buy stuff and then throw everything away. And then I just did that for years and years. And at that time, you couldn't order stuff online. You had to actually go to a store and buy it. And
oh, man.
I have so many embarrassing stories about that. It's just, they're like nightmares. The worst things you possibly think of happening, going into a
store.
Wait,
can you go into that a little bit? Like maybe one or two
times? Yeah, the two worst were, like what I used to do is I used to go to a completely different neighborhood. I used to get on the transit system and just go, I'd go an hour and go into a pharmacy, and I bring a really big bag with me, a backpack. And I would go into a pharmacy and buy diapers. But what I would do was I would scope the place out first to make sure there was no long lines or anything at the cash. So I did tour around. And then as soon as I saw the cash free, grab what I wanted and then run. And one of the times I did it, I got to the cash, the lady took it, punched it up, but the code wouldn't work.
Oh.
So she got on the microphone and called the stock boy over. And at this point, three more people had lined up, four more people. And I'm standing there going, oh, no, no. And she holds it up in the air to show the stock boy, can you go get do a price check? And I'm just, then suddenly she realized, oh, wait a minute, this is embarrassing. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. And I'm like, oh, they're not for me. They're not for me. She's like, I know, but I'm so sorry. And so that, I mean, I did not buy any for a long time after that. And
I don't blame you.
I almost got accused of shoplifting once because I was loitering so long in the aisle, back and forth, and doing the tour to check out the cash, that finally I heard a code, someone go over the microphone and call it code, blah, 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 aisle, whatever. And somebody came up to me, asked me what I was doing. And I'm like, I just took off.
Because you were just so nervous about paying for that.
Yeah, it was so hard. Now you just click a couple buttons and they come to your door.
We got it so easy now.
Yeah, there's no trial by fire. You didn't have to pay for your fetish.
Yeah, exactly. So have you ever told a vanilla partner or your friends or your family, like how open are you about this?
My friends, I have a few close friends that I see pretty much, like I'm a little bit older. I'm older than you are, but I'm not an old man by any means. I don't want to make myself, I just realized talking about the internet, you know, being a thing. I'm like, oh, they're going to think I'm like 50 or something. I'm not. But I, at this stage of my life, I'm so busy. You know, I have a few close friends and that's who I see all the time. Most of them know at this point, and they know within the last year or 2 years since I started writing the books, I got a little bit more open about it because I wanted to brag. Like I'm a writer. I'm selling books, you know?
Yeah.
And well, what are they about? Can we read them? I'm like, no.
No, absolutely not.
And so I've been a little bit more open with that recently. I did tell my last girlfriend about it and it went horribly, horribly wrong. And it almost broke us up. And it was totally my fault though. I did it completely the wrong way. I won't get into the details, but I just picked the wrong time to talk about it. And it really unnerved her and she didn't understand it. And
were you?
Now we're still good friends and she's totally cool with it. She's been in the room and I showed it. She was really upset one day about stuff and she'd been going through a hard time. And I had plans that day to do some work on the room. It was a weekend and I volunteered to spend time with her to cheer her up. And she's like, oh, I just need you to make me laugh, you know, like, so I'm like, okay. And so I told her about it really awkwardly, told her about the room and she just started laughing. She'd been crying 1 minute, next minute she's laughing her head off. And then I brought her over to my house and tentatively opened the room. Like I have it locked all the time. And she walked in and just, she laughed hysterically for about 10 minutes and then immediately jumped into the crib. And she's like, this is so weird.
So at that point, she had already known and you had already broken up when you showed her the room?
She didn't know that I was into it as much as I was. She just, I kind of brought it up in a way that like, it's something that crossed my mind, but I don't do it.
Uh-huh.
And so she forgot about it completely after a while. Like we were together for another 2 years, I think, after I told her. So, but that was a long time to go, as you probably can, I mean, as most people could relate to that are into this, that's a long time to go and suppress it.
Yes.
And that's, I did that for way too long in my life and I don't do that anymore. It's, you know, I showed some friends pictures of the room. They haven't been in it exact, but they've seen pictures in the video and they're like, yeah, we know you're weird. It's fine.
So how did your friends react? And was it more difficult or was it easier to tell your friends versus a girlfriend?
Much easier to tell friends. I'd known them a lot longer and they already knew that I was weird. So
what do you mean?
Well, I'm an eccentric guy. Like I have, you know, I'm normal.
They're probably just like, that's it. We thought of something way worse.
Yeah, pretty much when I told, that's pretty much what, yeah. when I told, that's what I write about and stuff. They're like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, they didn't ask a lot of questions, but I told them, you know, I've got quite a few followers on Tumblr now and my books are doing well and, you know, I'm getting fan mail.
Yeah. So
they're like, well, why won't you tell us what these are about? And I'm like, oh, it's so weird. And when I told them, they're like, first of all, they weren't really shocked by it at all. They didn't guess what it was, but they weren't, like I said, they've known me a long time. I never do anything normal. So it didn't really shock them. Do people even know what we're talking about? Like, we didn't, I don't know if we made this, I have like a full nursery in my house. I don't know if we actually mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, how did that start off? And, you know, about like how much did it cost, if you don't mind talking about like the budget that you set for it? And
I get these questions all the time and it would be so much easier just to tell you now.
Okay, let's dive in. Let's do it.
I've promised to create a website to show, you know, diagrams, how to build stuff and everything, but I just don't have the time. Yeah. I went through a really hard time. A friend of mine went through a really hard time for a while and I was helping her out. And so during that time, I wasn't doing anything really fun or anything. I was pretty much just focused on helping her because she was sick. And after that stop, like she got better and whatnot, I moved and I moved into a new apartment and it's a big apartment. And I decided just one day I'm sitting there. I'm like, I could just do something crazy right now. And I designed the crib first and I made trips, I don't know how many trips to the hardware store to figure out how I could get this thing built without having to cut the wood myself. I'm pretty handy, but I live in an apartment and a jigsaw is not, you know, my neighbors won't like me.
Yes.
So I figured out measurements and how I could get the wood cut at the lumber store. And I did it in pieces. I brought them home, you know, in parts. And I figured out how I could make it work with just a standard size bed. And the next thing I know, I drank a lot of wine and built a very large bed. And I kind of was in awe of it for a while. And I just kind of left it there. And then I'm like, no, let's do the whole room. We've already started. So
wow.
I, you know, like I come from working class family. My mom was a seamstress. My dad was a handyman. And so I know how to sew. I know how to use power tools. So I've got the right combination to design a nursery.
Wow. So that's awesome.
I sewed all kinds of stuff and bought a bunch of things. But for the most part, I think it only costs the bed itself. The wood cost me maybe $200, $150 Canadian, which is a lot less American. And I probably only put in $400 or $500 in the actual room itself.
That is so awesome because, you know, I looked into just buying a custom large ABDL one and they're like thousands of dollars.
They're crazy. I literally built the frame of this bed for $150 or $200. I think the screws were the most, because I didn't want it to fall apart. So I made sure it was very sturdy. And the mattress is from IKEA. So there's, you know, it's not a, and I already owned that one. So
yeah,
it didn't cost that much money. So once you, I mean, it took a long time to figure out the blueprints for it. But I mean, you build a bed and then you put the sides on it. It's,
yeah,
it doesn't have an elaborate up and down parts. I ran out of steam. So right now it's got a little ladder and you climb in and go in. And I might adapt it this summer to open up like doors, but I don't think I'll do the slide up and down on the side.
That sounds like a really fun little project.
It was, and I wanted to show people for so long, and then finally when I did, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
but it's actually been really like I, you know, I was under a lot of stress the last year, and just the fact of the process of building things and doing sewing and stuff, it just became a reason, you know, it became something else. It was almost like therapy. Like I could just relax and do this. And it evolved and evolved and evolved. And then I decided to put everything on Tumblr to get some fans, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. So have you ever had any other ABDLs come over and like host a little get together or anything like that?
I've had a lot of difficulty finding people, and I have not yet.
Just in your area, you mean? Or
yeah, yeah. Talked to a lot of people online, but they're far away. And I did sort of meet with a group, but I don't think I was a little unnerved by it. Like it was just too much, and they weren't really. I won't go into that too much. I would love to meet some people one-on-one and get to know them and then, you know, invite them to use the room. But right now I just haven't been able to do that. And I it's my fault because I don't spend enough time online to try and find people, but
it's hard. It's easy to find people, but good quality people that you connect with.
Because as you know, like everything that anyone could be into, there's always going to be wackadoodles.
Oh, yeah, especially here.
Those are the ones that seem to rise to the top. Uh-huh. So I get messages on Tumblr almost on a daily basis from a few that just want to be my friend all the time. And I want to come over. I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to come here. I'm like, no, you're not.
No.
I don't even know your name.
You're like, I don't know you yet. We're not on that level.
So maybe someday I did have a friend online I still talk to, but she's not really ABDL. She considers herself a little, and she did come over to see the room and she hung out in the room for a while, but that's it. No one that's actually an AB has ever come and hung out in the room.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is I consider myself more big now than little. And like I have that sort of switch thing going on, and so I don't really use the room that much either. So it's sort of this albatross in the back of my house, like this door to Narnia. Like, you know, my rest of my house looks like a writer's house, you know, a typical, you know, dark photography and whatever else. And then you open this room and, you know, it's ink and pastels and
Narnia really, back there. Yeah,
exactly.
That's so cool. So how did you get into writing? Have you always been a writer or?
Yeah. My day job is actually as a writer too.
Oh, so, well, that worked out.
Yeah, it's a different type of writing, but yeah, I've always been creative too. So, I have works under like regular type writing that I don't, that isn't this and is under a different name. So this just became an extension of, you know, I just felt like actually the first book that I published, it started as a joke and between a friend and I that, she told me that her favorite book, because we used to text a lot. She lived on the other side of the country and we used to text a lot back and forth. And we were very open with one another. We known each other a long time. So she'd tell me kind of intimate details about her life. And she told me like one of her big fantasies was to get someone to read 50 Shades of Grey to her. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's your fantasy? I'd rarely mock someone's fantasy, but I'm like, that is absurd. This is terrible. And she's like, well, do you think you could do better? And I'm like, I probably can't make that much money, but I'm sure I can write properly at least. And so it became a joke. Like she's like, she kind of dared me. So she challenged me to write one of her fantasies for her.
Okay.
So I started, but it was boring.
Yeah, it sounds really boring being read to a book that's already.
That's not the one she wanted me to do. But
oh, okay.
It was like something else. And I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. Like this, what are you talking about? So I ditched that after a couple of weeks. I was kind of working on it a little bit of time. And I'm like, why don't I write an ABDL story without even any inkling that I might publish it or anything. I'll just do it. Cause I was going through, you know, it was a rough time and it gave me a distraction. So I just started writing it and I got really into it. And I wrote the first book really quickly. I mean, they're not long. They're all around 70, 75 pages. Yeah. And I wrote the first one, the draft, in a couple of weeks. And I published it about a month later. And when I first published it, I published it on this site that distributes it to all the big sellers, but nothing happened. I didn't get any sales. I got like one or two sales on that site, but not on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anything like that. So I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, okay, well, I guess people don't read this stuff. Like, so I kind of gave up. A couple of weeks later, I realized that they share it with all these companies, but they don't give keywords. So unless you're looking for the book, you're not going to find it. So I put my book directly on Amazon myself, and I started getting a couple of sales a day. And I'm like, okay, well, this is cool. Maybe I'll make enough to buy a new barbecue or something. Yeah. The next thing I know, July 4th weekend rolls around, and I started selling 20 books a day. And wow. I went, oh, my God. This is great.
That's amazing.
And it stayed like that for about 3 months. And I published the second book. And that one's become the best seller of my books, the second one, which I found interesting because it sort of gives me a feel for who's reading the books. I'm not even sure who's reading them, but that's how it started. It was a joke that I ended up in, and I ended up, you know, I was going to write this fantasy for a friend, and I decided, the heck with that, I'm going to write my own. and oddly enough, the first book is actually the woman character is the little. I wrote it from a Swiss perspective.
Wow, that's really interesting. So how many books have you published in total? Just those two, or?
I published five.
Wow.
But one of them is an AVDL related. It's within the sort of umbrella, I guess, because there is like some, it's like there's S&M involved and domination and stuff, but it's not, there's no baby stuff.
That's cool that you do a variety of different things. So you mentioned that those books were available on Amazon. Are they still available on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon and any of the real, all the big booksellers.
So what would I do? Just type in
E.P. Morgan is what it's under. So E.P. Morgan. Or the first book is called Poppy's Nursery for Bratty Girls.
Okay.
And the second one is Lured into Mommy's Nursery. And it's kind of like a fantasy horror AVDL.
What? Whoa, well, I never thought about that before.
I sort of had Stephen King's Misery in my mind, where like the guy, the main character is, he has these fantasies. And this person uses those fantasies to sort of entrap him. And he becomes trapped by the fantasy. Like he has the opportunity to escape the fantasy when it becomes too much, but he can't. Whoa. And so it becomes this whole sort of mind power of the mind and fantasy thing where there's probably a metaphor for it somewhere,
like, yeah,
why I wrote it. I had a lot of fun writing it though.
I love and, that.
Yeah, so that one's become, I did my third book is set, I wrote it through the eyes of a woman, which was, I thought would be a cool challenge. So yeah. Character is female and I'm writing it as though I am her, and it's sort of mind, like total mind trip as I'm writing this, trying to get into the mindset of what I think would, you know, a woman would be thinking in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So none of your friends have read these books or know what they
none
are.
Of my friends. I have one friend who I, the first book I wrote, I let him see part of it because he had a legal background. I'm like, what should I, like, is this a good idea? Like, if, you know, he's like, this is awesome. Probably just publish it. So.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
He's a really straight laced guy too. He's not, he's total vanilla. And he gets a kick out of hearing crazy stories. So when I told him I was doing it, he's like, this is so cool. People do such weird things. It's crazy. It's great.
I love open-minded people like that. They surprise you a little bit. You're like, whoa, didn't expect you to react like that, but that's cool.
Yeah, well, I've known him for, he's been a good friend of mine for, I think, 20 years. So,
he's like, I know you. I know you're a good person. And
at this point in my life, if I've known you that long and I tell you this stuff and you freak out, then there was something wrong in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing. How can people find out more about you or reach out to you and get to know you a little bit better?
My Tumblr account would be the best. And I've been working on a website for a long time to sort of have a bit of a blog and stuff about my writing and also the room and stuff and photos and how people can build the furniture I build and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a slow process. So Tumblr for now is the best. And at some point I'll put a link on
there. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much, Morgan.
All right. Thanks.
Have a good one.
See you. Bye.